But Jamie did. He wasn't here. Because of that, the fact that there was some that weren't here, I'm just going to do a quick recap. You know, I believe that we are in position. Amen. As a church, we are in position. As individuals, God knows where we are at. Amen. He knows right where Kyle's at right now. Amen. Not just the fact that he's walking off the platform, but he knows where he's at right now. And we've got to believe that God knows exactly where we are at. Praise God. And so I felt last week when Michael said about looking at the schedule and the Lord starts talking to us and as preachers and begins to formulate things, and we sit down and I was excited about what I found, and I know you guys already knew it, but when you look at the last three books of the history section in your Bible, you find Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. And so we studied Nehemiah by looking into Esther. And brought out the fact that, you know, you see Esther's life. You know, she got to the place of being queen, you know, and God, you know, worked in her life in such an awesome way so she can save her people. Amen? Not going to go through the whole story because I'm getting somewhere. And then you find in Nehemiah, when you start to read Nehemiah, you find that God opens things up for Nehemiah, that the favor of God was on Nehemiah. Amen? And Nehemiah even says, you know, the good hand of the Lord is upon me. How many believe today that the good hand of God is upon us? Amen. The good hand of God is upon us. And there's a little statement in Nehemiah chapter 2 where it says that when Nehemiah goes before the king, he was the cupbearer, and he was the one that would take the drink and he would eat the food before the king would. And if he would die, the king would say, you know, I know that this is not good. I can't eat this. The Nehemiah was somebody important to the king. And Nehemiah stands before him, and the king says, wait a minute, there's something wrong. Because you're sad, and it's not a normal sad. There's something going on, and something was turning on the inside of Nehemiah because he got the report from his brother that, hey, Jerusalem is not yet where it needs to be, and people are not there worshiping God. The house of God was important to Nehemiah. Something turned inside of him, and we find that the king looks at him, gives him full reign. He says, you know what, I'm not only going to give you the okay to leave, but I'm gonna make sure that you have the supplies. And we talked about how God supplies. Amen. God puts us into position, and then he supplies with the world's stuff. Amen. And there's a little statement in there that intrigued me. And the queen was sitting next to the king. As you study, you learn that Esther, the book of Esther, actually comes in the chronological history order before Ezra and Nehemiah. And here we find God having favor on Esther, and God opening it up that Esther saves her people. And then you find in the book of Nehemiah, God's favor is still upon his people. Amen. If it had favor upon Nehemiah because of his relationship, amen, with not just the king, but the king, amen. Praise God. He didn't just have a relationship with the king of the land, Persia, but he had a relationship with the king, amen. And I'm telling you here today that because of our connection with God, because of our connection with the king, we have favor, amen. Come on, as a church, we've got the favor of God upon us. And if I could today, I would like to preach this message: connect to God, build his church. Connect to God, build his church. And I'm going to do something a little bit different here this morning. And I've asked Naaman, grab that chair, Naaman. Grab that chair, yep. And maybe that one will be easier. There you go, right there, grab that chair. Okay. I've asked Naaman, and listen, youth, young people, you do it also. Everybody, you can all do this, all right? I want you to sit right here. I don't want to knock you over. I don't want you to fall off the platform either. We don't need that, okay? I don't know if that mic doesn't work. If not, just scream, okay? Okay? What I'm going to do is every time, okay, Naaman? Every time I say connect to God, I want you to jump to your feet and shout into the mic, build his church. Amen? Young people, can you do that, Ian? Can you do that, James? Can we do that? Can we do that, some adults? Every time I say connect to God, oh, you missed his church. You missed it already. You missed it already. Connect to God. Build his church. Amen. Amen. I'm going to take this off. We might get sweaty up here. Is that okay? Amen. I don't know where to stick this. Here we go. Connecting to God is important. Amen. And when we realize, when we realize that it's not about us, we are called for a purpose. Nehemiah was called on purpose. Amen. He was connected to God. All right, we need to work with this. Is that the work at all? Okay, it doesn't work. Yes, it does. Hello? Something. Okay, it doesn't work. Just pretend. All right? Pretend. We're a preacher in the making. Amen. Connect God.
Build his church.
I heard you. It does work. Yes, you got to scream it though, okay? Can you do that? Okay, if you feel like running around, you could do that too. Okay? Build his church. And just take off running around.
I'll just stay right here.
All right? Praise God. Amen. It's the very most important thing that we do in this life is connect to God.
Build his church.
Amen. I even said that to Ian this morning. What we're doing this morning, going to church, is we are connecting to God.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise God. What an awesome calling that you and I have in our lives. It is. What an awesome opportunity that you and I have to get connected to Him. I gotcha. Amen. Every minute you put into the in your mind that you are going to live for God, you are going to connect to Him, you will find opposition. Every time you make that commitment that I am going to connect to God, guess what? You're going to find opposition. Amen? The very minute. And as we would read Nehemiah, we find all of the ites. Okay, if you're reading down through Scripture and you find an ite, they were the people that were against the things of God. Ammonites, Moabites, the termites. They're not good people. Amen? They're not good. And so this guy named Sanballat, he was a Horonite, and Tobiah the Ammonite, and they were friends with another guy named Geshem, and he was Arabian. They heard about how Nehemiah wanted to do something to build and finish off the building of God's walls at Jerusalem. And they began to mock. They began to ridicule. They began to come against Nehemiah. And when they heard that he wanted to help rebuild the house of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I wonder if people that we work with really hear what we're all about. Come on. Do they hear your testimony of what God is doing in the church? Or do they just see you as another co-worker? Because we've got to be talking about, this is the most important thing that we are a part of. We are a part of building his church. We are a part of connecting to God.
Build his church.
Now that's sad. The adults got it before the children did. Hallelujah. And if you are connected to God on high levels,
go ahead.
If you're connected to God on high levels, He will give you insight. Naaman, I was so thankful 2 weeks ago in praying for him that he was just up here praying in tongues. Man, that is so exciting. Because what that is doing is that's connecting to God. And that's building his church. Come on. When you pray in tongues, that's just not just so you can feel goosebumps, but you are building God's kingdom. Amen. Naaman was connecting. And when we connect to him, God gives us insight. Amen. He waited for the prompting of God. And he went at nighttime. And if you could pull up Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 12. And I arose at night. If you want to listen to chapter 1 and 2, get it from Wednesday night. I don't know if they recorded that or not. Praise God. And I rose at night, and some few men with me. Neither told I any men what God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Why? Why didn't he tell anybody? Because he was connected to God. Neither was there any beast. You're doing all right. It's okay. You don't have to fret it, all right? I see sweat. You need this? Here you go. Neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. Basically, what he was saying is the only animal that I took was the one I was riding on. Verse 13, and I went out by night and by the gates of the valley, even before the dragon well and the dung port. Check those out. It's pretty interesting. And dung port means dung port. And viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. And Nehemiah does something very interesting that each and every one of us must do. And it's not just a one-time event, but we must do inspection. Come on. We've got to sometimes sit ourselves down, get alone with God, and say, God, where am I at spiritually? Am I where I need to be? Is there things in my life that's not pleasing to you? And we've got to inspect the walls. We've got to check out the walls of this temple. He was there trying to rebuild the walls of the temple of God. And our Bible says that we now become the temple of the Holy Ghost. And we've got to do in some inspection sometime. And we've got to allow the Holy Ghost to step in. And if he says, you know what, you got to get rid of some things, we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. God wants us to be right. He wants us to live right. And he doesn't want us to have our walls broken down so that the enemy can just easily walk right in. Hallelujah. Notice Nehemiah doesn't quickly run up to the wall and start putting blocks together. And he doesn't excitingly go out and tell everybody, hey, we're going to go do this right away. But he first inspects things. And because Nehemiah was connected to God, he waits for the direction of God. And it's vitally important that we get direction from God. Amen. If Nehemiah would have done things without the leading of the Holy Ghost, he would have found himself in trouble. And listen, if you're here today and you don't seek the advice of God on every situation, you are going to find yourself in trouble. You're going to find yourself taking steps back and say, how in the world did I get here? And God's going to say, you remember when you tried to do it on your own? Remember when I tried to do some remodeling in your house and you wouldn't let me to do it? Remember when I tried to examine and you said, nope, I'm okay, I can do this? We've got to somewhere be led of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we've got to be connected to God. Build his church. Amen. You lost it on that one, bro. Are you sleeping? Okay. You didn't even stand. There was no effort in that whatsoever. Amen. Your enemy is just waiting for you to start doing things on your own. Come on. Our enemy is waiting for us to try to do it on our own without the advice of the Holy Ghost. And we can't fall into the trap of our enemies. Nehemiah took note of everything that needed to be done, everything that needed to be complete, and he knew exactly what he needed to do. Luke chapter 14, verse 28 says, "For which of you intending to build a tower does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it?" Count the cost, King James says. We've got to count the cost. We've got to know what's going on. And he did things intentional. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, "It's intentional." It's intentional. I'm doing this on purpose. Amen. Praise God. It's intentional. We are building the house of the Lord. Praise God. And God does things on purpose. And Nehemiah did things intentional and on purpose. I should have picked somebody else. As God directed him. I'm just saying that because your name is so close to what I'm trying to preach here today. And when we have to do things, we have to do it on purpose. Amen. Come on, listen, we need to pray for our families on purpose. We need to pray for our families intentional. We need to pray for our church and the church priorities intentional and on purpose. We need to pray for our neighbors on purpose. We need to get connected to God. Amen. And pray for things that God puts inside of our minds because we are connected to him. What's that? Yeah, you can stand. You can take off. I don't care. Do it. Amen. We need to stay in that place of relationship with him. Praise God. Nehemiah was in at the right place at the right time. And God used him mightily and gave him favor to do it. And there is a bubble over State College and over the center region because of the apostolics are here. And God is doing things through us. Intentional and on purpose. Intentional and on purpose. Connect to God.
Build his church.
Do it intentionally and do it on purpose. Amen. Listen, if the walls of your life are broken down, if your defenses have crumbled so that the enemy can get in on every side, you can easily fall to temptation. And we don't want this. Come on. We don't want you to be looking at stuff on the internet that you don't need to be looking at. What you're doing is you're opening the gate. You're letting the walls crumble. And before you know it, you're saying, "How come I don't feel connected to the church? Nobody loves me. Nobody prays for me." Well, maybe it's because you let your gates wide open. Some of us don't even, you don't have to worry about the walls being torn down. You just let the open. The enemy comes in every night and you're okay with it. That's a sad thing. We've got to have enough Holy Ghost to say, "You know what? I can throw some things out. I can get rid of things. I can close those gates in my life that are hindering me." The gates aren't hindering, but what's coming in is. Amen. Hallelujah. You need to let God reconstruct some of your defense system in your life. Praise God. You need to connect to him. I said to him, not God. Same difference. Praise God. Amen. There are 10 gates around the city, and each family was assigned to a certain gate and the portion of the wall that their house was close to. And these gates were access into the city, and there's 10. The sheep gate was the gate of sacrifice where they would bring in the sheep for the slaughter. It was the blood and it was the cross and all those things. I want to study this out a whole bunch more. The fish gate was the gate of witness. The old gate was the gate of truth. Amen. Then you had the dung gate. And that's the gate where you have to get out the garbage. Amen. And then they had the valley gate, which was humility, and the fountain gate, which is the Holy Ghost, and the water gate, which is very interesting to me. The water gate was the only one that was not torn down, and that is the word of God. Amen. Then you had the east gate, the hope. You had the horse gate, which was the warfare gate. And then you had the muster gate, not mustard like you put on a hot dog, but the examination gate, the muster. Amen. And there's a reason for each of these gates. And I've already made mention that too many times we leave the gates wide open. Too many times the warfare gate is left wide open. The enemy comes in and we just say, okay. Or the gate of sacrifice, there is no sacrifice. There is no commitment to the things of God. The Holy Ghost will speak to us and we say, well, I'm not going to really listen to what you're trying to tell me. The very most important thing that we do in this life is to connect to God. He is slow. You are slow. How about this? Come here. Okay? Come here. Now, every time you see yellow, you can read with me, and then you could be right on time. All right? Praise God. We need to connect to God. Yes! Hallelujah. Yeah. Every minute you put in your mind that you are going to, I already said this, that you're going to live for God, something happens. Opposition comes. Having a connection with Him makes the difference. Come on. Having a connection with God as we build the church makes a difference in our lives. They missed it. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. I've added that in. That wasn't in my notes. That's why you missed it, okay? I let you go on that one. Okay? So build we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto half thereof. For the people had a mind to work. We have such an amazing church. If you haven't realized this, we have an amazing church. We get my wife and I get to travel. Not that other churches are not amazing, but we have an amazing church. Praise God. And the Bible says here in Nehemiah that the people had a mind to work. This is critical to the building of any building. It was critical to the building of the temple. It was critical to the building of an organization. It's critical to the building of the church that people have a mind to work. Michael cannot do this all on his own. Come on. Not any one of us can do this on our own. And it's very critical that we have a mind to work. The word mind also means heart. So the mind or the heart is the seat of our emotions. And they simply had a heart to work. There was something inside of them. Nehemiah knew that the house of the Lord needed to be rebuilt. And he said, I'm going to do no matter what it takes to see the church go forward, to see the house of God be rebuilt so people can worship God in true holiness. We have to, as people of Centerpoint, do whatever it takes to see people come into the house of the Lord to worship God and to receive the Holy Ghost and to get baptized and to be discipled the way that God has called us to see. Amen. And to be. Hallelujah. We're not building this for ourselves, are we, folks? We're not building this for ourselves, but we do it because we're building His kingdom. We're not building a campus ministry for ourselves just to say that we have a good name and we did a good job. We would have quit 20 years ago. We're not building Tuesday night prayer meetings just to say we had prayer. It's more than just coming and having prayer. We are getting connected to God. Amen. Getting connected to God. Build His church. Okay. I got to throw that in there every once in a while. Amen. We don't just come on Sunday mornings just to say we come to a good church. It's not just about having good church. But I want to be connected to Him. Hallelujah. He got his arm back. He's like, yeah. Oop. Amen. Okay, you see this is coming up, right? Okay? We need to connect to God.
Build His church.
But every time we begin to do that, opposition is coming. Opposition is there. Here comes opposition knocking at the door once again. And some of you feel like opposition is camped out at your doorstep. Come on. There are some under the sound of my voice that are sitting back saying, you know what, I'm not, I go, but if I'm not there, nobody's going to care. That is a lie from hell. You are a part of this family. You are a part of this church. Opposition is here, and it does come. And you've got to get it out of your mindset, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Opposition you may feel is camped out at your doorstep. You may look to the left and you feel like it's there. You may look to the right and it's there and behind you. And everywhere you step, you're tripping over opposition. But know that God is with us. Nehemiah was sent by God for a reason and for a purpose. And you're here not by accident, but God has got you here for a reason and a purpose. And that's to connect to him and build his church. Come on. I helped you with that one, all right? It sounded like a choir singing, okay? We're here to build the church. And every time opposition is right there, it means something. It means you're doing something in the kingdom of God. And the devil wants to get you down and out, thinking that you're a nobody. But this preacher's here today. We've felt so much opposition through our life and our ministry. But you know what? You can make it. You can be used of God. You can be like Nehemiah. Say, you know what? There is a call. There is a reason. Praise God. People that don't understand the purpose of God and people that oppose the work of God will always ridicule the process of God. They don't understand why you do what you do. Get that in your mind already. But it doesn't matter. What I'm doing is I'm working to please him. I studied to please him. I come to prayer to be connected to him and to build his church.
Go ahead, scream it.
Build his church.
As soon as I went to join you, you stopped. Hallelujah. Isn't he doing a great job this morning? Expect opposition. Opposition in our lives causes us to grow stronger in him. Amen. It causes us to go stronger in him. That's why Michael was saying about going to the gym earlier. That's why you go to the gym. How many people go to the gym? It's to grow stronger muscles. And what they do is they put opposition on their muscles. And it grows their muscles. Amen. And resistance on the body from the weights causes those muscles to grow. And some people long to go to the gym and to work out, but they cringe at the fact that we have a Tuesday night prayer meeting and we're asking you to get here. They'd be so inclined. Oh, you want to get up at 4 and go to the gym? Well, yes. Hey, come to prayer. I don't know if I could do that. God help us. Help us to get our priorities right. Help us to see where we are at and what we are doing in the kingdom of God and the importance of building the church. Amen. Thankfully, as 1 Corinthians 3:9, I didn't give you this, but it says that we are laborers together with God. Amen. We're not building this for our own. Yes, I'm saying, you know, connect to God.
Build his church.
Build his church. But you know what? It is him that's building it. And he's using you and I to do it. Amen? Praise God. This is his church. This is his work. Matthew 16:18 says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. Upon this rock, the revelation of who he is, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church." Amen. And God gives Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Amen. He is in charge and we are not. Amen. Aren't you so thankful that God's in charge? Amen. Because we're connected to God.
Build his church.
I was pointing to the message. I thought you got the signal, bro. Okay. It's important for us to walk in step with the Holy Ghost. It's important for us to be connected to him.
Build his church.
And build his church. That was an accident. That's not in my notes, that one. Jude 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which you were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. Another translation says they're going to indulge in their ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. There's going to be people, and we know this, that don't have the Spirit of God. And they don't understand why you do what you do. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. And how do we do this? By praying in the Holy Ghost. We do this by praying in the Spirit. You can't pray enough prayers in your own language to really make it through the way God desires you to make it through. How are we ever going to get connected to His purpose if we're not letting Him lead us in prayer? Amen. Let's raise our hands all across this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead and raise your hand. Oh, I didn't see that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, touch us today. God, help us today, Lord. Hallelujah. Be, Lord, what you've called us to be. God, help us, Lord, in the Holy Ghost, Lord, that you are infusing yourself into each and every one of us, Lord, in such a miraculous way, Lord Jesus. God, that we can connect to you, Lord, and build the church that you've called us to, Lord Jesus. The Bible goes on to say, keeping yourselves in the love of God, guarding yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And some, having compassion, make a difference, making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating the garment spotted by the flesh. Come on, we live in this world, but we are not of this world. You do not have to act like this world. He says that you've got your garments spotted by the things of the world, and you don't just walk around with those dirty clothes on, would you? But you hate the idea that you've been in the world too long, and so you get back to an altar every day, and you come to God, and you connect to God, and you're building His church. How many believe what I'm talking about here today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And because of this, now Him that is able to keep you from falling, when we're connected to Him.
Yes, build His church.
Come on. Come on, preach it. When we have that connection with Him, He is able to keep us unspotted. Praise God. He's able to keep us clean. He's able to have us put another block on the wall. He's able to have us stick some more mortar in between those blocks. He's able to build what He is trying to build. Amen. Now to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. It's only God that can do it. Amen. You are in good hands. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're in good hands. You're in good hands. Even if you don't have Allstate, you're in good hands. Amen. You're in good hands. And as we are building, God is building. Doesn't that encourage you here today? But the key to it all is that we stay connected to Him.
Build His church.
That's the key to it all. What good is church if you go live your whole six other days in a world of sin? And you always come thinking, well, I could just go to the altar. That's not how this should be. God wants connection with you. He wants connection with myself. He wants connection with you. That when you walk into your school, people see not just you, but they see the light of God shining through you because you're building His church. Come on. You ought to be praying in the Holy Ghost every day. Even though mom and dad or mom may not even know what's going on, you can pray without tearing the house down, okay? You don't have to go running through the house like you do here at church. But you can pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on. When you go to bed at night, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Start feeling His presence because you're building His church. Go ahead. Go ahead. Come on. Build His church.
Build His church.
Amen. That would have been perfectly fine. I don't mind. God is building us up in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth with our infirmities, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And I feel the Holy Ghost is here in this place today. And God can speak through us and do things in our lives in such a miraculous way. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Notice that when we tap into the Holy Ghost, it doesn't say He maketh intercession just for your family, but He maketh intercession for the saints. Amen. According to God's will. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and who are called according to His purpose. And Nehemiah prayed and encouraged those that were working at God's house on His walls. And verse 9 of chapter 4, Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God. He was just told that Sanballat and these other guys were coming against him, all the ites. And he said, I'm going to set up a watch against the enemy. And not just make it so I'm watching just in the daytime, but I'm going to set up a watch at nighttime. Praise God. We've got to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost 24/7. Amen. We've got to guard. The Proverbs says, guard your heart with all diligence. Amen. For out of it are the issues of life. And all of us working together makes a great church. Amen. And as we've heard Michael say, and I'm like, this is so cool because we are family. Amen. We are family. That's all right. That's okay. He's good. He's just faking. He's faking it. Praise God. Amen. We are all family. Amen. I love this. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and unto the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Nehemiah's got some confidence in his God. Amen. We've got to have some confidence in our God. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And then he says this, fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, and your wives, and your houses. Now, to me, I've said this before, to me, the list is all out of skew. Because to us, in our material world that we live in, we would say, you know what? You need to pray for my house. You need to pray for my sons. You need to pray for my wife. You need to pray for my family. And then maybe, possibly, then I'll pray for my brother. We are family. We are building God's church. Amen. And when things arise in our families, we ought to be able to be sensitive enough to the Holy Ghost that we say, you know what? Hey, forget my needs. Forget my finances. Forget that my car needs fixing. That's pastor speaking from the South. Okay, forget these things. But I'm gonna pray and I'm gonna fast for Kyle today. I'm gonna pray and plead the blood of God over Kyle and his home. I'm gonna pray for the reaps today because that's what's important. Every one of those families had a section of the wall that they needed to take care of. But as you would read down through, Nehemiah says, and it came to pass when our enemies heard it was known, they mocked, they counseled that God had brought their counsel to naught. We returned all of us to the wall. And when our enemies heard that, this is another translation, God frustrated the enemy. When our enemies heard that their plot was known to us and that God had frustrated it, we need to realize that because we are family and because we are connected to each other and because we're connected to God,
build His church.
Okay, we can pray and believe that God frustrates the enemy because we're praying for one another. We're praying for each other's needs over our own needs. Amen. And this, what God does, is awesome because we are connecting with each other. Amen. And God can and does reveal the enemy's plan to us. And he frustrates the enemy to no end. And he disturbs the enemy's plans. And we need to get the revelation of this today, that we all need to return to building the wall. Come on, we all need to find somewhere where we get off of our own selves and we build this church together. Hallelujah. Come on, you are a part of something much bigger than yourselves. You can't just have the mindset, well, I'm just a nobody, but you got to realize today that you're just as important as anybody else that's sitting here. Hallelujah. You're a part of the building of the church. Amen. Half the workers worked on the construction, and the other half grabbed the spears, the shields, and the swords, and the bows, the armor, the body armor. And the leaders, they positioned themselves behind the whole house of Judah who was building the wall. And everyone had a job, and everyone was there for a reason and for a purpose. Amen. Even the ones carrying the supplies, they were called the burden bearers. They carried the loads in such a way that each labored their work with one hand and a weapon in the other. Act like that's a sword. Okay? Now you have a sword in one hand, but you're working with the other. Okay? So they were building the walls while they had a sword in their other hand. Amen. We need to continue to build the church as we get involved in spiritual warfare on the other hand. Come on, we need to continue to build the walls. We need to continue to be engaged in the Holy Ghost. Amen. When trouble arises at the wall, I'm getting ahead of myself just a little bit, but that's okay. When trouble arises at the wall, the horn, the trumpet will sound, however they sounded it. I'm losing my voice. Somebody make a trumpet sound. Okay, there, you know, the trumpet would sound, you know, whatever. And what everybody would do, they say, uh-oh, Jamie and his family's in trouble. And everybody would go with all their weapons, and they would protect the problem. Not that Jamie's a problem. They would protect against the enemy that was coming in. Come on. We pray for each other. When there's something going wrong in our families, we need to all blow the trumpet sound. Hey, let's all gather together. Naaman's going through a bunch of stuff right now. Let's blow the horns. Let's push back the enemy. Let's engage in spiritual warfare and believe God's going to push it all back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Am I making any sense here today? Jesus, we need us to be sensitive to your spirit. God, we need to be connected to you, God.
Build his church.
So we can build your church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you can read about that in verse 19. The official said, the work is great. There's so much that needs to be done. There's so much that has to be accomplished. But if we're really going to do it, we need to rally when there's a problem. We need to rally together and knowing that our God is going to fight for us. Hallelujah. You're not fighting this alone. Oh, let's all stand here in this place. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can just grab this. You can just stand right there in the front. Come on, let's begin to make our way to the altar today. Hallelujah.